It's a central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The Zaatari refugee camp in Jordan houses nearly 100,000 people, most of whom have fled the conflict in Syria. In April, Pittsburgh-based photographer Marini Ray Staub spent 3 weeks at Zaatari. During her time there, she took photographs. She taught photography to those living there and worked on humanitarian projects. This weekend, her work from the camp will be on display at the Three Rivers Arts Festival. The exhibit is called Displacement, Resilience, Hope. Marini Ray Staub joins us now in studio. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me.
Can you begin by telling us a bit about the Zaatari refugee camp, where it is and how and why it was created?
Sure. The Zaatari refugee camp was first opened on July 28th in 2012, so just coming up short of 4 years. It's located about an hour outside of Amman, Jordan, and only 13 kilometers from the Syrian border. So a lot of the people that end up there are really about 20-25 miles from what they had previously called home. The camp first, it was initially established to house about 60,000 people and was really just a tent camp, literally canvas tents. But as the war and the conflict continued over the years and the need for a bigger and more established camp became a reality, the camp grew, population fluctuated in size. I believe it went up to around 250,000 at one point. And the canvas tents were eventually replaced out of necessity by what are referred to as caravans. They're similar to what most of us would might call a garden shed. They're no electricity or running water or anything like that. So there's approximately, when I was there, there's about 86,000 people. But again, people are coming and going every day. And the size is 3 square miles. So the Zaatari camp wears the name of the highest concentration of Syrian refugees anywhere in the world.
What is the general mood of the people in this camp? And a lot of them are children.
Yeah, about 55% of them are under the age of 18. So I chose the subtitle really trying to put a finger on what I felt when I was talking to and interacting with people there.
Displacement, resilience, hope.
Yeah. Yeah, and I certainly don't want to make it sound better than it is, because the camp is a very, very difficult lifestyle. So I'd break it down by the adults and the children. Children are amazing in their ability just to handle and deal with anything. So the kids were a joy to work with, and at the same time, they were different from any child you'll meet here, in the sense that you could tell that they were much older than their years, and they had experienced and seen and been through things that most of us might not even be able to imagine. And the adults were focused on making the best of a very difficult situation, of taking care of their families, of themselves, and of finding ways to pass the time, really. A lot of them had been there for months, if not years. I met people there who had been in the camp really since it had opened, so.
What did you do during your 3 weeks at the camp? What was a typical day like for you?
Sure. So I went there with an NGO called the Global Outreach Doctors. And so I worked with them and then the Syrian American Medical Society. And we worked in a clinic. So the camp has 2 makeshift hospitals, but that really doesn't meet the needs, the daily and ongoing needs of 86,000 people. So my role with those 2 NGOs was to document the work that they were doing. So we came in the early morning, and the camp is run by the UNHCR and the Jordanian authorities. So it is a regulated camp. So we came in the mornings. I worked in the clinics, and then we had to be out before dusk every day. At the same time, when I wasn't taking photos within the clinic, I was doing everything I could to get out and about and to talk to people, to really get a better pulse on what life was really like and what they were feeling and how they spent their days and their time.
This isn't your first humanitarian mission. Where else have you been, and what draws you to working with and photographing refugees?
So when I was younger, I had the opportunity to see a lot of the world, but strictly talking about humanitarian missions, if you want to call it that, is I work with Pittsburgh-based the Project End Human Trafficking, and we do work here in the city of Pittsburgh, but we also work in Uganda. So I spent about 3 weeks in Uganda in 2014 and then again in 2015, and I'll hopefully be returning again later this year with the Project End Human Trafficking. As far as to working with refugees, this was my first direct experience, and I'm someone who keeps up with current events and likes to listen to the news, specifically NPR.
That's good. We like that.
Yes. And so when I hear about something, it's my instinct to want to see and understand it and photograph it myself. And that was very much the case when we've all been hearing a lot about the Syrian refugee crisis. So I started seeking out opportunities to get over there and to see and understand myself.
What is Syria fatigue, and what are the potential consequences of it to the people that we see in your photos? And so many, as I looked at the photos, I was just struck by how many of them are children and just very innocent-looking young people.
So I think Syria fatigue is something I read in a newspaper article not too long ago, and it's I think it's human nature to, if you hear about something like the refugee crisis and you're not able to assign a name and a face to it, you get you can't directly help necessarily. You get tired of it. I think the effect, though, is just people are dying every day, and people are living in these camps, and they're not receiving the aid or the help that they need.
Do you want to carry on with that explanation, or do you want to move on to another topic here?
No. Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, we were talking about Syria fatigue. So what are the consequences of the people in these photos? I mean, of that fatigue that causes people to maybe not care as much as they should.
Yeah, sure. It's. I think there's just a lack of. Well, there's two things. There's a lack of aid. So mm-hmm. So people are not receiving. People do not have access to health care, access to education, access to most of the social services, and I would say that the international powers that be, are not doing what they need to do in order to stop the conflict.
Sure. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we're talking with Marinie Ray Staub, who spent 3 weeks at Zaatari. It's a refugee camp in Jordan. It houses nearly 100,000 individuals, most of whom have fled the conflict in Syria. And she took a number of photographs that will be on display at the Three Rivers Arts Festival this weekend. The exhibit is called Displacement, Resilience, Hope. You also spent some time in Iraq photographing IDPs or internally displaced persons. Can you talk about those photographs and that experience? And before we went on the air, you said you really fell in love with Iraq.
Well, I'd say that about both populations of people, really. There is a warmth and a generosity and a hospitality of the Arab culture that I experienced that has me not only wanting but planning to go back and to continue this work later this year and in early 2017. As far as my work in Iraq, when I was in Syria, I was seeking out opportunities to go to Iraq, and the opportunity to work with MSF or Doctors Without Borders came up. And so I traveled to northern Iraq, so Iraqi Kurdistan, and worked directly with MSF in some of their mobile clinics. The experience was very similar as well as very different to what I experienced in Jordan. We were working in more of a hot spot, which is the type of work that MSF does. We are near Mosul and near the border with Syria. We were working with displaced people, which internally displaced people, which were people that when Daesh or ISIS came in 2014, those who weren't killed left their villages and had since returned. So MSF was going to these areas and setting up clinics to provide healthcare to the fraction of people that had returned and really had no access to any sort of healthcare or services really at all.
We're getting very tight on time here, but one of the things I'm curious about was, were you concerned for your safety at all traveling through this is a dangerous area?
You know, it's surreal to be there and to feel as safe as I felt. So the answer is no, mainly because...
You were not worried about being, I don't know, God knows what, attacked, kidnapped.
You know, I believe in the work, and I believe in the importance of being there and to hearing people's stories and then bringing those stories back home to Pittsburgh. And I don't think it's naivety. I don't think it's ignorance. It's just... I think we might have a misperception of certain parts of the world.
Well, you've certainly done some very admirable work, and we're so glad that you were able to join us to talk about it today and to know that it's on display this weekend at the Three Rivers Arts Festival. Again, Marini Ray Staub's work is called, the exhibit is called Displacement, Resilience, Hope, and she joined us in studio. Marini Ray Staub, thank you so much for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Bob.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. We are out of time. Have a great weekend, everyone. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.